Deuteronomy chapter 31. Hopefully your Bible's open there. You recall that Moses has been giving what some people call his swan song. He's going to die soon. Look at this. And Moses, chapter 31, verse 1, went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old today. I can no more go out and come in. Also, the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Now, we've been studying through Deuteronomy for quite a few weeks now. And it has come to my attention that so many disagree with so much. If there's one thing I know about us, we're so amazing. We know so much about Scripture that we'll fight and we'll fight and we'll fight. And we'll waste our energy and we'll pistol whip each other with Scripture and we'll really spend it out on each other. And people are dying and don't know the Lord. So I suppose we could fight among ourselves, try to straighten each other out on our eschatological studies. That's a word that means end time studies. But you know, while we do that, people are dying. Moses says, I'm 120 years old. I'm done. I can no longer go out and come in. I mean, Moses is saying, I'm old now. I'm about done. And he says, the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Do you remember in Numbers chapter 20, God told Moses, God said, Mo, because you have misrepresented me, I will not allow you to enter into the promised land. Because you have misrepresented me, I will not allow you to enter in. And you say, wait, what did Moses do? Moses lost his temper. You ever done that? Praise God, you haven't. But I know other Christians who have. And they misrepresented God. Moses made the people think God was mad at them. When God wasn't mad, Moses was mad. You ever done that? Misrepresent God? If you haven't, you're a rare bird. Chances are good you and I have many times misrepresented God. Chances are real good. Even you. Yes. Even you. God said, go on out there. The people are complaining. Moses said, they're complaining again. I can't believe these people. They're complaining. And God said, it's all right. Just go out and speak to the rock. He said, you smite the rock one time. Hit the rock with your rod. Water will come out. People are complaining again. We've been giving them water every day for years and they're whining again. These people are getting on my nerves. God said, not a problem. Go out and speak to the rock. Water will come out just like usual. Just relax, Mo. Moses went out there and said, you people are making me tired. And Aaron said, yeah. Aaron, you know, Moses, you know, Moses was in charge. So Aaron goes, yeah, you guys, listen to my brother. Yeah. And Moses says, yeah, you want water? You know, God's getting sick of you guys. And he hit that rock and water came out. Remember that? You know what that, if you want to go back there to Numbers chapter 20, read through it. You know what that says? God is full of mercy. Isn't he? Moses could have hit that rock hard and said, here's your stupid water. And then that would have been real embarrassing if no water came out, huh? And he hit that rock again. Well, the rock, we learn in the New Testament, was who? Jesus. And how many times would he be put to death? Would he be smited? One time. What did Moses do? He hit that rock again. God said, that's it. Mo, come here. And you remember the rest of the story. Said, you will not enter into the promised land. You say, gee whiz, or whatever you say, when you're shocked and stunned. Just that little thing wouldn't let him go in. Luke chapter 12. This is for you Christians now. Verse 48. Jesus says, he that did not know or knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Did you hear that? I'll do it again. Luke 12:48. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few or not many stripes. Why? For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. The more you know about your Bible, the more you know and the more you begin to walk with the Lord, the more is required of you and me and Mo, who should have known better. You sit and I sit and verse by verse together. And we just verse by verse together. And we continue on, and then a year has gone by. 2 years have gone by. How long have we been doing this now here at North Country? We've been doing this 5.5 years, almost 5.5 years. Verse by verse for 5.5 years. I ought to be tired. But in it, those of you who have put up with that for 5.5 years... Well, there's more required of you than those who haven't put up with it for 5.5 years. You know better than some because you've put up with 5.5 years of verse by verse. You are the ones that ought to be the most solid, the ones that ought to do the less whining, the least gossiping. You and me, all of us, we're the ones that ought to be really going for it. Have we misrepresented God? Do this. Yeah, go ahead, get it over with. It's good. Confession's good for the soul. Yeah. And what Jesus just said is, to whom much is given, of that one, much is required also. The longer you do this, the better you ought to be at it. And Moses knew better. So Moses isn't going to enter into the promised land. Moses is finished leading God's people. His work is finished. Put it another way, if you're taking notes, Moses is not essential to the whole plan. Did you hear that? And you can use that word if you like. It's a big one, I know. Starts with an E. Moses is not essential to God's plan. Did you hear that? Neither am I. Did you hear that? Okay, what comes next? Right. Neither are you. Not one of us is. God will use any one of us who is willing. Anyone. Anyone. Without question. You don't have to be trained. You don't have to be skilled. You just must be born again. And God will use you. But you are not essential. Neither am I. None of us are essential. The work of God is going to continue. The children of Israel will enter into the promised land, and Moses will have nothing to do with it. Not amazing. Moses is not essential to God's plan. And Moses says, I'm not going to enter in, guys. I'm 120 years old. I can't go in and out anymore. It's it. I'm finished. But God's will, God's plan, God's work is going to continue on. I mean, hard to imagine, but when I'm gone, God's work will continue on till he raptures the church. When you're gone, God's work will continue on. You say, I teach Bible studies. That's good. Praise God. Go for it. Teach them right, though, because to whom much is given, of the same much will be required. So study. Get up early. Stay up late. Do whatever you need to do to study to make sure that it's solid. And keep doing it. And just figure that when you don't do it anymore, don't worry. Someone still will. It's a great feeling, really. Moses is probably going, and man, you guys are a mess, and I'm glad I'm going somewhere else. I mean, 120 years, 40 of them in the wilderness with these people. Can you imagine? Now, we read this. The Lord thy God, verse 3, he will go over before you, the Jordan, and he will destroy these nations from before you, and you shall possess them, and Joshua, he shall go over before you as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he has done to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites. Remember, he destroyed them. And unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that you may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Now that, you know, excuse me, I read them together so you can keep your thoughts together. First of all, Moses says, I'm done. I'm 120 and I'm done. God told me I can't enter in and I can't enter in. But the truth is, I'll be gone and nothing is even, they're not even going to skip a beat. None of us is essential to God's plan. But every one of us can be used if we're willing. Just don't get this idea in your head that he can't do it without you. Because he was doing it before I got here, and he'll be doing it when I'm gone. Somebody will take it and run with it. Somebody will. And he says, now I'm not going in, but God's going to go before you. God will go over the river before you. It will be in God's power that you go. It will be in God's will. It will be according to God's purpose that you're going to do this. Joshua will lead you. That should surprise all 3.5 million people or so, however many are there that day. It should surprise you. It probably doesn't, because maybe you've read this already, or maybe somebody told you Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and so you knew when Moses was gone, Joshua was doing it. And so you're not shocked, but you should be. Joshua is going to take this thing. Who's Joshua? Joshua is the servant of Moses. That's all. He's the servant of Moses. Who would you have expected to take it? You're not thinking. I mean, Moses was human, wasn't he? Yes. Well, if he was human and he felt like I do and he feels like you do, then who would you have expected to take the children of Israel in? One of his sons, maybe? I mean, does that make sense to you, or am I the only weird one in the crowd? One of his sons, possibly? Didn't he love his own kids? Was there something wrong with them? Nothing's wrong with them. Listen, had there been a vote, Joshua wouldn't have gotten voted in. Caleb was much more prominent. Caleb is talked about more. Caleb's talked about being a man of valor, a man of faith, a man that's strong. You don't see that about Joshua. Joshua, when he's mentioned, is servant of Moses. If anything ought to surprise you, it ought to be who's going to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. You know, I'm always amazed at who God picks, aren't you? When you see these ladies leading Bible studies and these men that are leading Bible studies, aren't you shocked at who he lets do it? I am. And it's usually somebody we wouldn't have voted for. How did you get to be pastor? I got it the easy way. I just started a study. I didn't try to have anybody hire me. Are you crazy? Wouldn't have never worked. You know, I learned years ago, don't ever take over for somebody. Don't ever. Start your own or don't do nothing. You got to be crazy to take over for somebody. Because you're going to see in a moment when Joshua takes over for Moses, you can't fill those shoes. Matter of fact, Moses wouldn't have, after Moses had led them for a few years, he couldn't have qualified for his own job. I've seen guys get in, though. They got voted in. Now, you know, when somebody gets voted in, most of the time that's not going to work. It's just not going to be exactly what you thought it ought to be. How did he get in there? I knew a man one time who had quite a bit of money and wanted to be a pastor. Wasn't called to be a pastor, but he did have a lot of money. He offered our church $10,000 if we would make him pastor. I said, we have one. Thank you. But he continued going around. He checked with some Assembly of Gods. He checked some Evangelical Free. Checked a few Baptists here and there. And most of them just thought about it a little bit, but said no thank you. But he finally found one down the road from us that could use $10,000. So they made him their pastor. And that's how he became pastor. And, you know, some would go listen to him, and kind of interesting to listen to him because there wasn't anything going on there. And he didn't last too long because he was a drug dealer, and that sort of really ruined it for the church when he got arrested. You could have wondered where the $10,000 came from, I suppose. But the people, you know, people were good. They'd go, oh, yeah, that guy's kind of cool. Man, you know how that guy got in that job? He bought it. Oh, I don't care. I like him. Okay. You know, that's people. I know a man that is a pastor today because he didn't want to leave the town he was in. Just didn't want to leave the town. So even though he would tell you he wasn't called, he went ahead and took the job just because that's cheaper than leaving the town. And you think, well, that's great. Now, the people that are going there, they just love him and he's the pastor. But, you know, if the people would give thought to what's going on here, you'd want Joshua. You wouldn't want anybody else. Why? Even though he may not be your choice, he is the one anointed by God himself. That's who you want to be leading, is the one who is anointed by God. Not the one who didn't want to bother leaving town because it'd be too expensive. Not the one who has $10,000 and could buy his way into the job. You want the one that God himself has called, wouldn't you? So, you know, I think we ought to be asking some of these pastors. Just outright. How'd you get your job? Be surprised at the answers. Chosen by God, Joshua. Not chosen by Moses. Hear that? Not chosen by Moses. Not chosen by the people. Not chosen by the priests, the high priests, or the Levites, or nothing. Chosen by God. And if it's not chosen by God, it doesn't matter how big the church becomes or what the church is doing. It's not of the Lord. And if it's not of the Lord, then we've learned out of 1 Corinthians that it's wood, hay, and stubble, and it's going to burn. I don't even want to be a part of something like that, do you? I just wouldn't want to be a part. I'd rather be, you know, following Joshua, who may not be my first choice, than anything else. You know, Moses had sons, Caleb stood out, but there it was, Joshua. Human reasoning doesn't come into play here. You notice that? Just doesn't come into play. It is God and God alone that does the appointing and the anointing. But that doesn't mean everyone teaching Bible study has been appointed and anointed by God. Now, that places a problem. Not a problem, but a dilemma on your shoulders. You would have to know the Word of God well enough to recognize the difference, wouldn't you? It would become part of your responsibility. Because in these days that you and I live, I think these are last days. And so in the last days, people will heap up to themselves teachers. Did you hear that? They would heap up to themselves. What does that mean? They would go to the teachers that say what they want them to say. That's how a lot of churches are growing. Not based on what God is doing, but based on what people want to hear. They don't like it there. They don't like it there. They get their feelings hurt. They go over there. They like it for a while because they're liking what they hear. When you got that kind of ministry, you can figure they're not going to be around for very long. We got to grow up, everybody. It's time now. We've got to grow up. We have to become men and women of the Word. We have to be able to discern the voice of the living God. The only way you're going to recognize the voice of God is by being born again, number one, and number two, being a man or woman of the Word of God, being Spirit-filled and listening to the Lord. You've got to be in your Bibles. Especially in these days that we live. Ministries pop up all over the place. On purpose. You know, there are ministries. We've been here, five and a half years. I don't know exactly how many churches I've seen start since then, but it's got to be dozens, just in this area alone. And some of them are not of the Lord. They are not of the Lord. But they're going. They're doing it. So the people have a responsibility to know the Word of God. Now more than ever, you need to know your Bible. Are you reading your Bible? Are you getting into the Word of God yourself? Making sure that the Holy Spirit teaches you and that you grow. Don't get out of the Bible. Notice we learn here that God will destroy the nations when Israel attacked those nations under the leadership of Joshua. Who will destroy the nations? Even though the Israelites are fighting, Joshua is in the lead. Who will destroy the nations? The Bible says God will destroy those nations. Now let's go on. We went through verse 5. Look at verse 6. He encourages every one of the people, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And so there it is. Be strong and of good courage. Moses saw their parents. Remember, he spent the last 40 years with this crew. Their parents died in the wilderness. Moses saw their parents turn yellow and run back there in the wilderness. Remember that? When they could have entered into the promised land and they hadn't been out of Egypt very long and they were there on the border or the boundary of the promised land, they could have entered in and Moses saw them turn yellow and run, didn't he? And so what does he say to this generation? I can't go with you. I'm old. God told me I can't. But here's what I want for you. Don't turn yellow. Don't run away. It's been done before. This is what I want you to do. Be strong and of good courage. Go in and possess the land. God will never fail you and never forsake you. You ought to mark that in your Bible, if you haven't already. God will never fail you and will never forsake you. And how long is never? Till you're scared? Till you're bad? That's Christian mentality. All right, never. God will never leave me unless I do something wrong. No, that's not what the Bible says. God will never, never leave you. And he will never what? Fail you. Has he ever failed you yet? The answer to that is no. Have we ever failed him? Once maybe. At a time. And through it all, he has never stopped. Each time I fail him, each time you fail him, he still doesn't leave. He still doesn't fail me in return. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your lifestyle be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, the Lord, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. See, the promise is still there. So he says, let your lifestyle be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Why? Because God's with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never fail you. Romans 8:31-32. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I hope you heard that. If God be for us, who can be against us? There is never, not ever, any reason to give up. Because God is always there. Not only that, but he that spared not his own son. Now remember, God for you was willing to allow his own son to die. He that spared not his own son delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him, with Jesus, also freely give us all things? God wants to bless you. I know. It doesn't feel like it. Well, we walk by faith, not by sight. He wants to bless you. God loves you. Contrary to maybe what you've heard, he loves you. Now, Moses reminds his people, I'm not going with you, but you go in there. Joshua's going to take you. So be strong and of good courage. He will never leave you. He will never fail you. If you believe that, it'll probably change the way you live tomorrow, if you believe it. Verse 7 says, Moses called unto Joshua, called him up front in front of all these people. And he said unto him in the sight of all of Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them. And you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. He is encouraging Joshua, because Joshua was thinking, oh, what a job. Who would want that job? 40 years in the wilderness, and they still were complaining. After all the miracles, after all the blessings, after all the kindnesses and the grace and the mercy that God showed them, they were still ready at any moment to attack their leadership. So Moses brings Josh up front and says, Josh, and so this is wise of Moses. He says, I'm turning it over to you, Joshua. Take it from here. Don't be afraid. God will never fail you either. Isn't that cool? You know what's going to happen. See, Moses encourages Josh right in front of everybody. It's a good thing that the people see Moses support God's choice. Don't you think? It's wise that Moses is saying, this is what God said. So come on up, Joshua. I want everyone to see this is the one that's going to lead you. And I'm behind God 100%. So Joshua, I want to encourage you. Go for it. Joshua's going to have a big job when Moses is gone. You know that, don't you? Big job. People are going to say, well, come on, Joshua, what do we do? Moses always knew what to do. Remember how they hated Moses until there wasn't one? That's why I figure when I'm dead, people are going to like me then. I'm just looking forward to that. Oh, yeah. Because people are then going to go, Joshua, man, Moses was better than this. I wish we had Moses back. People are going to say that, you know. You know, Moses would have never done it this way, Joshua. What are you doing? What a lousy leader. They're going to forget that they didn't like Moses either. Because they'll have someone else to complain about, someone else to dislike. So Moses says, Josh, be strong and of good courage. God will never fail you. He'll never leave you. He's right there. Go for it. And Moses wrote this law, verse 9 says, and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi. They bear the ark of the covenant and the Lord of the Lord unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the feast of tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Out loud, in other words. Read the whole law to them out loud. Gather the people together, men, women, and children, the stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law. And that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land whither you go over Jordan to possess it. Okay, there's a couple of things going on. First, Joshua is learning here the same lesson that Isaiah had to learn. As Moses turns it over to Joshua, Moses says, Josh, it's God's will, it's God's power, it's God's idea, these are God's people, this is God's kingdom, everything is God's, just don't try to take any of it for yourself and you'll be fine. He's learning who is really in control. Joshua had to learn the same lesson Isaiah had to learn. Isaiah said it was in the year that King Uzziah died. I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Isaiah chapter 6. Now, when the king wore a train, you know, the jacket that was on the train would be all that extra cloth that would drag along the floor. The longer the train, the more powerful the king. So when a king walked in, he had this great robe on, and some people would have to carry his train. They'd be 5 and 10 feet back from him, carrying this huge train. Joshua says, when the king died, the king of Israel, you're thinking, oh no, there's no authority. Oh my goodness, we don't have any leadership. Isaiah said, the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And how long was his train? And his train filled the temple. And the angels cried, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. What was the lesson Isaiah was to learn? These are God's people. This is God's building. This is God's kingdom. This is God's plan. These are God's ideas. This is God's everything. We serve him, but none of it is ours. Joshua is being told, Josh, God's going to go do this. He'll never leave you. He'll never fail you. Trust him. Be of good courage. Be strong. Stick with God. Everybody, good advice. Your life in Jesus Christ, that belongs to God as well. God's will, God's time, God's plan, God's kingdom, God's authority, God's everything, and we just serve, right? If you can keep that in perspective, you won't get your feelings hurt so easily. You won't get turned off so quickly. You won't get tired so fast. It's all his. And that's what Joshua is learning. And every 7 years, on that year when people are set free, when all the slaves are set free and the land is given back to where it belongs, remember, every 7 years when they enter into the promised land, and that seventh year, he says, all men, all women, all children gather together, and this law is to be read aloud to them. Now, they're going to have to make a trip, aren't they? Some of them are going to live up in Nazareth. Some will live up in the Golan, even a little bit higher, a little bit further north. They'll even have a little bit further to go, won't they? All right, have you ever thought about it? Just think about it for a second. Every man, woman, and child, let's just pretend you live in a little village of Nazareth. You've got this little, let's say like Joseph. You have a carpenter shop, or you've got a little business going on, and you live in a nice little duplex over there. You and your family. On that seventh year, every man, woman, and child has to do what? Go on down to Jerusalem. How many people are going to be left in your village? None. Who's going to guard it? What's going to happen to your stuff? You ever think about that? Think about it a second. Because it's a lesson. Everybody come down. Man, woman, and child is required. That leaves complete villages empty. Couldn't the enemy come in and just take what they wanted? I would think they could. Why couldn't they? Nobody's guarding the borders. How do I know? Because every man, woman, and child that's true Jewish is going to be down there. Also, the stranger that lives in your house. You got friends from over in Moab who came to visit. You're taking them with you. Everybody goes down. What's the point? They are trusting God for everything, aren't they? Not just the trip down, but while they're down here, that everything at the home is going to be all right. What's it going to remind them of? Reminiscent of 40 years out there in the wilderness, having to depend on God for everything all the time. It is good sometimes to be reminded that you and I have to depend on God for everything all the time. We don't think we do. We really don't. We're American. We think insurance is going to cover it. And it's a false security. You'd better be realizing that everything you're getting, everything that's going on around you, is because God is doing it. Don't make Him prove it to you by letting your insurances collapse and fall through and by letting the whole country go. No, just realize now, America, that God is holding it up. It is not our armed forces. It is not our security measures. It is not anything but God Himself. And should He ever get His feelings hurt enough to where He lets it all go, we're going to be sorry. Because there will be nothing that we can do about it. Aren't you glad that God is so filled with kindness and mercy? You're going to see that again in a moment. 40 years wandering in the wilderness, having to depend on God for everything. Right now, take a moment and get back, step back into the position where you remember, I am depending on God for everything. I don't earn a living. God gives it to me. I don't take care of my family. God does. And when I'm gone, He still will. You work hard while you're here. But once again, we realize who's doing it. We realize who to give thanks to, who to give all the glory to, who to give all the honor to. Now we read this in verse 14. The Lord said to Moses, here's some good news, Moses. Behold, your days approach that you must die. You're going to die pretty quick here, Mo. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went, presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of cloud. And the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thou shalt die. You're going to sleep with your fathers. Meaning you're going to be buried. And this people will rise up. Here's some good news for Moses to hear. You're going to die. And after you do, this people's going to go whoring after other gods of the strangers of the land, whether they go to be among them. And they will forsake me and break my covenant which I made with them. I don't know how that made Moses feel. He said, Moses, you're going to die. Yeah, I know. And as soon as you do, the people are going to turn and forsake me. That's really bad news, everybody, in case you didn't know. That would hurt Moses' feelings. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? They'll know. And I will surely hide my face in that day from all the evils which they shall have worked, in that they are turned to other gods. You know, Moses and Joshua are in there, and God speaks, and God says, Moses, you're going to die pretty quick here, next day or so. When you do, Joshua, you're taking this. And here's the news. They are going to rebel. They're going to turn against me. I'm going to have to wipe them out. I feel better now. Boy, I would. If I was Joshua, I'd be going, I'm glad I signed up for this gig. Yeah. What did the Lord say to Isaiah? You're going to speak and no one's going to listen to you. Isaiah said, how long will that be, Lord? And God said, you'll be dead and gone and they still won't listen. So Isaiah's going to spend his whole ministry and no one's going to listen to him. How would you feel? Would you take the job? Noah preached for 120 years. How many people listened to him? Nobody. They figure billions were living on the earth at the time. Of the billions, 8 people went into the ark. And those were Noah's kids and their wives and Noah and his wife. Nobody listened. How would you like the job? It's amazing. You would think, maybe you wouldn't, but I would think, if there was even a chance for the children of Israel to fail, if there was a chance that they would fail in the promised land, that God would not take them in. Just keep wandering around the wilderness till they're all dead. Wouldn't you think that? But instead, God says they will fail, but I'm going to give it to them anyway. Because I promised and because I love them. Write down grace. Grace. And then take a look at your life and mine. After we came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Not just before. But take a look at your life and mine after we were saved. After we said, I belong to Jesus. And look at how merciful God has been to each one of us. Knowing after He saved me the things I was going to do. Knowing after He saved you the attitudes that you were going to have, the things that you were going to do on a regular basis, the directions you were going to go. Knowing you would, He still said, Jesus has paid for that one. Is that kindness? Is that mercy? That's something we should be grateful for, certainly not complaining about. That's amazing. He says they will fail, but I'm going to keep my promise, and I love them, and I will give them the promised land. You know, God knows the human heart. He knows mine. He knows yours. He knows me. He knows you. And still, He loves us. You and I, and I know people, this is going to probably be my downfall. You and I would walk away from Him within the next 5 minutes if He didn't keep us. You know that, don't you? You and I, left on our own, would walk off. That is why He has given you His Holy Spirit in your life. Those of you that are truly born again. The heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know it? God knows our hearts and loves us anyway, and sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross at Calvary for the sins of the world, our sins. Shed His blood and was buried. And on the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures. He purchased with a price. And His price was the blood that He shed. God is amazing. Jesus says it in Luke 18:8. Jesus says, I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? What a statement for Jesus to make. He said, I'm going to return to my Father, but I'll come back. At His second coming, Jesus asks this question. When the Son of Man cometh, when He returns, will He find faith on the earth? The question is asked in the negative. Let's put that in American. He knows that there is coming a great falling away. And yet God still mercifully holds His hands out all day long to, what does He say? Again saying people. His arms are open and Jesus says, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You got an opportunity to come to Jesus Christ. And what does the song say? Just as I am. Recognizing that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Our best deeds, our best days are filthy in the sight of the Lord. None of our righteousness is any good. We have to put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We must be born again. That's all we're seeing here. And Moses is being told it's going to be ugly, Moses and Joshua. Verse 19 says, now therefore write this song. I like that. Write this song for you and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers that flows with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and grown fat, then they will then, I'm sorry, will they turn to other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant. And it shall come to pass when many evils and troubles are befallen them that this song shall testify against them as a witness. For it shall not be forgotten out of their mouths of their seed. For I know their imagination which they go about, even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swear. Moses therefore wrote the song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. And he gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge and said, be strong and of good courage, for you shall bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. He is reminding Joshua of what God says, but he's writing a song now. Moses is going to write a song. Hey, that's cool. Moses is a songwriter. You know, music is one of the best ways to remember the Word of God. Did you know that? Music. Music is a great way. It's an excellent way to remember God's Word. Music has a way of getting right to your heart. You've noticed that, haven't you? Turn on a country station, pretty soon you're crying. Because everybody's divorcing everybody, and their dog's died, and the pickup is broken. It's a sad thing. And now, I mean, there you are, you're starting to cry. Also, you guys remember songs that you sang when you were 6 and 7 years old, and now you're 20. Don't you? I remember singing about wanting to be a whisker on the Easter Bunny's chin. I wanted to wear this bunny thing. I was in the kindergarten. I just remember it. I won't sing it for you now, but I still remember the whole thing. You want to remember Scripture, sing it. We sing a lot of the songs that we sing come out of Scripture. You remember them. You won't forget them. God just said to Moses, you write it down, teach the song to them. Even years from now, when they have rebelled, that song will still be something they can sing. Remember the song that children used to sing is one of the most powerful presentations of the gospel I've ever heard. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Everybody remembers the song. You remember music. So God says, I know what you, how you're made. Music gets right to your heart. So Moses, write a song. You don't even have to like the melody. Who cares? Write a song. Put it to music and people will never forget it. And even when they've rebelled and they've forgotten me, they'll start to sing that song. They'll just be cleaning the house one day or working on the car and they'll start humming. And pretty soon they'll be singing those songs. And many of you, if you're like the rest of us, you know, things aren't going so well and you're driving down the street or whatever, or you're working and you start to sing songs that you learned in church. Has it ever happened to you? And it lifts your heart, doesn't it? You say, I don't know. Well, try it! Start singing the Bible. He who began a work in you is faithful to complete it. You start singing the words that God has written. They stick forever. You never forget them. Oh, you could forget your address. We've been to care centers where you play music for the people that can't get out. And you can, you know, you can sing a few of our little things that we do and they just stare at you. But you start singing, how great thou art. And they know the words, the words are just there in their hearts. You start singing the old rugged cross. There it is. They remember. You start singing some of the hymns, the powerful presentations of the gospel. They're there. They never go away. So God says, Moses, write it in a song. That way the people will never forget it. Amazing. Verse 24 says, came to pass when Moses had made an end of writing the words of the law, of this law in a book till they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites, which carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law, put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against you. Now notice, it doesn't go inside. He says, put it in the side of the Ark. They'll carry it along the side, but inside was only, the things that were written were only the Ten Commandments. You recall that, right? Okay, good. For I know your rebellion, thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am still alive with you this day, you have been rebellious against the Lord. How much more after my death? He says, you've rebelled with me right here. How much more will you rebel when I'm gone, dead and gone? So he realizes, gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death you will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And Moses spoke in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. That's amazing. The statement that Moses made a little over 3,500 years ago, these last few verses, is still accurate today, isn't it? You will utterly corrupt yourselves. You will turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. Evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the works of your hands. Over 3,500 years ago, and that is still accurate today. Isn't that amazing? It's true of all humans, all of us people everywhere. The works of our hands, we rebel against God. Even those of us that belong to him, the truth is there are times when we rebel against him. Isn't that the truth? We say we love the Lord, yet we wander and we rebel. So Moses says, don't do that. Pray about these things. It's a short chapter. Go back through and read it again. Look at the mercy of God in your life and in my life. Start to read your Bible. Just start to read it. Every day. A little plan of just reading a little bit every day. So that you'll know what it says. So that you won't be taken to the left or the right. So you won't be tricked. So you won't be fooled. So you'll know what's going on. So that you'll recognize the Lord's voice when he speaks to your heart. He loves you. And remember, it is grace. Look at the mercy. Look at the kindness of the Lord. He loves you. And in spite of us, he continues to work. Jesus paid the price. Those of you that belong to him, you are completely forgiven. And God, his mercies are brand new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. What else did we learn? Be strong and of good courage. God will never fail you, and he will never leave you. Let's bow our heads.